Ahoy, welcome along. It's a brand new episode of Baffled, the greatest facts podcast. We do the digging for you. We do the work. We find some facts. We figure out if they're incredible, if they're worth sharing, or if they're worth just chucking away. My name's Dan. Thank you for listening. Three facts this week on my end. I've got stuff about hands, about hiccups, and about the horn. Connor, what you got?
Surgeons, back in the ancient Roman times. Yawning, and also Switzerland's ways.
Mark is also here across the table. What you got?
I do. I've got two for the time. I've got two facts about the Olympics and one about food failures.
There you go. Stick around. It's a brand new episode of Baffled.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, I don't really like letting daylight in upon magic where it's unnecessary. But we're in a new studio, the first time we've done this kind of face-to-face, not online, for the first time in a long while.
In a long while.
The only reason I mention this is because, Connor, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at your research, like what you got the facts on.
Yeah, a bit of Gmail, yeah.
I mean, it's three lines.
Yeah, I mean, I did think that. When you sent it to me to print, I mean, mine takes up a whole page.
Every week, that is all I bring. This is all I've ever brought since we started.
Right, honestly, the way mine, I'm sure Mark does their facts, you've got the headline and then you've got the bullet points, the info underneath. You just have the headline and then you just make the rest up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this...
That's enough. It's all in your noggin, is it? And then just like...
This is every... Do we do bullet points over here, do we?
That's what I do.
So
you've got like a whole...
Nah, you don't need none of that.
So your facts... So, you know, fact about yawning and then you just go...
Well, the yawning one is a little bit more in depth, so I've got a little bit underneath that.
He's got a whole sentence underneath for that one.
Do you know what? The other two facts we don't really need to be doing much more with.
No.
But that one little bit of research, yeah, come on. Researching for... Come on, we're an amazing fat podcast, all about nonsense, fine.
Can't even say the word podcast.
Yeah, we've got nothing to worry about.
I'm going
to
kick it off today. This is quite important, I think, because it's coming off the back of, well, you know, lockdown and pandemics and COVID. I want to tell you, it's one of my favourite story facts.
Oh, we love a Dan story fact. Strap in, everyone.
Who loves a Dan story?
I'm being sarcastic. Oh, God, okay.
I'm going to give it a bash at the name. His name was Ignaz Semmelweis. He was a Hungarian doctor back in 1846, so way back. Now, he figured out that doctors needed to wash their hands. Doctors before this time didn't wash their hands. Now, he discovered this because a lot of women were dying during childbirth and he couldn't figure out why. Then he figured out it was because the students who were delivering the babies, they would pretty much go there straight from... digging around in dead bodies to find out what had killed them. So he figured out they got this cadaverous deadly particles on their bodies. They would deliver the babies, they wouldn't wash their hands, and the women would die. So he told everyone that they needed to wash their hands to save lives. No one believed him. No one started washing their hands. He was fired and he ended up in a mental asylum. It drove him mad.
I mean, it's baffling to think that someone needed to tell someone at some point to start washing your hands between touching a dead body and giving birth.
Not only at some point, as in just over 150 years ago.
So it's like not that far away.
Not that far away.
I would say that's round the corner rather than back in the day, Connor.
I'll go round the corner, yeah.
It's round the corner.
And it's just incredible, isn't it? When people are living, their present is the future to them. So the newest things that are made is cutting edge. Like today, we're in a new podcast studio with fancy cameras and stuff in like 20, 50 years time, that's going to be old hat.
Yeah.
And it's the same with this. So these doctors had no clue to wash their hands. It was a big deal for them and no one believed it. It makes you wonder what people aren't believing. And, you know, I'm not, using this to get away to you.
Let's not go down that
road. I'm not getting worthy or anything like that. Like, this is not a message. It's just interesting to think about what we don't know and also what people today don't think is real, maybe is real. That's just quite cool.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I like your little analogy as well. It was like, our present is the future.
It sounded like some shit that should be on a motivational poster with a mountain. Yeah. With a mountain in the background.
But it stuck with me. You're so right. Our present is...
No, I said their present was their future. As in, that's all they knew.
I mean, it sounds deep. When you actually think about it, it means all.
Yeah.
But it sounds deep.
But you know what I mean? I mean that people don't know any different. That's what I mean.
So the fact here is the fact that...
Fact here, man invents... Tells people to wash their hands. It's going to save lives. No one does it. No one washes their hands. It drives the guy crazy. Really sad story.
Yeah, he's sad, yeah.
Mm. Ends up in a mental asylum because he gets driven so mad by the thought that no one is washing their hands.
Don't really feel sorry for him. I think there's issues there.
No, I do feel sorry. I mean, he's come here and he said, wash your fucking hands! Yeah. And everyone's gone. Nah, mate, you're crazy.
This is the thing that really concerns me about back in the day. It's like, surely it's just natural, you know, like if I was talking to a surgeon lab or whatever, I'd just wash my hands. Like, surely it's just...
Also, what were they washing their hands with? Because if no one had thought about washing their hands, then clearly soap doesn't exist. I mean, water still exists, Connor, so it will just be water.
Apparently it was with chlorine, I think, and he didn't even know it was because it was killing bugs. He just thought it was because it smelt... clean, so it must be doing
something. Does smell clean. Yeah. Who doesn't walk into a swimming pool and go, oh, that's clean?
Gotta be honest with you, it does smell bloody clean.
It does.
Yeah, if I was gonna be washing my hands with anything back in the day, it'd be a bit of chlorine.
Mark, give us your first fact of the show.
Solo synchronized swimming was a sport at the Olympic Games between 1984 and 1992.
Hold on, how are you synchronized swimming as a person on their own?
You know what, Connor?
You have hit the nail on the head there, mate.
Hit the nail on the head.
Do you know what? Oh, I'm so proud of myself. Before, I thought it in my mind, I thought I want to start a f***ing div here, but I'm going to go for it. We're in. We're going for it.
That's the point. So synchronized swimming is obviously a thing, you know, where you are synchronizing with other people and you are making it, you know, some artistic dance in the water where it's synchronized. Solo synchronized swimming, which, let's be honest, is just swimming, was a sport at the Olympic Games.
Will it be called solo dance swimming? I mean, there's a point, there's a part where if you're doing that on your own, it isn't just swimming. You're kind of like performing, but it's not synchronized swimming.
They have now rebranded synchronized swimming to artistic swimming. So really, it's just solo artistic swimming, I guess.
Millennial, isn't it? It's such a 2021, isn't it?
But it's just the fact that people have sat there and thought of that. That people have sat there and thought, you know what, we need to rename synchronized swimming.
I've always, and look, the Olympics are on right now, so this is very current. It really gets to me when I look at some, look, it doesn't get to me as such, don't piss me off, but it gets me wondering, some of the sports out there, when do you do that? When is there a part point in your life where you go, I'm going to give that solo arty swimming a go tonight?
The sports in the Olympic Games has changed massively across the year. Like, if you go back to early 1900s, art was in the Olympic Games. Sculpting was in the Olympic Games. So it's very much what's of the time. So skateboarding is in the Olympic Games for the first time this time. But can we just...
I like watching it, but anything?
Who got on a horse and went, I can make this horse dance?
I agree with the point. And what I'm trying to say is I'm up for it being in the Olympics. I like watching it. I really enjoy it. I really enjoyed watching the mountain biking the other day as well. But kind of like, is it everything now that is using energy? Does that come into Olympics now?
So it's down to the host city as to what goes in.
Podcasting?
Essentially, so...
I'll give it time.
The most oversubscribed
Olympic sport ever.
Can you imagine it? It's like Dan, Mark and Connor in the final.
Can you imagine us representing Team GB?
Well, we're on to Baffle. We talk shit up. There we go. We're out.
Straight out.
Ofcom's involved.
It's just... And it's all because arbitrary back in the day. So there's a reason why the marathon distance is a marathon distance. Like, it's the distance between... I think marathon in Athens, and some guy ran to announce that the war was over, basically, and then he died, so the legend goes. But the rest of it, who thought?
Other than
400 meters?
Other fun fact, so 26.2 meters, because the Queen couldn't be asked to move. That 0.2 was genuinely for the 1912 London Games, I think it was.
Say what? Based on a lot of our facts, we really kind of need the Queen on here, don't we, to answer a few questions?
Yeah, let's just get Lizzie on. She'll be able to.
I think if she was here right now, that extra might have a few questions. We've got, listen up, yeah. We've got a few questions for you. We've got a few facts we mentioned over the last year. We need clearing up. Are you good for that?
I'd probably send that email sooner rather than later, if I'm being honest. Yeah. It's just, you know, who thinks 800 metres, sure?
I do not yet.
Let's do 400, whatever.
Do you reckon they just got people to run and they were like, 800 metres, yeah, he's a bit f***ed. 800 metres, no. 900 metres,
you know what?
Knackered.
I reckon that's not too far from the truth. And what's amazing as well is that everyone just gets better and better and better. If you think that, I saw a ridiculous stat, which isn't necessarily Olympic pace, but it took, you know, Roger Bannister famously ran the first 4 minute mile. It took them ages to do that, years and years and years.
That took him 4 minutes.
He does it after years of people trying and failing. He does it. And then the next person that runs quicker than him does it a few months later.
Yeah.
It's like this trickle-down thing. It's almost like as soon as someone does it, it kind of gives you the permission, oh, I can do this as well. And it's just amazing how, like, if you think when Usain Bolt won the 2012 Olympics, I was watching it earlier, that incredible race where he won gold, everyone was under 10 seconds. And like that was unforeseeable back in the day. Like, what are they going to be doing in 50 years time? Like a step
with the Olympics. Love it, absolutely love it. One of my favorite things to watch as well, because it is just people at the absolute elite level of every single thing they do. But you are so right, like when Usain Bolt won it, you're all at an elite level of under 10 seconds. It's 0.1 seconds.
Maybe that's how the 200 meters got involved, because the 100 meters used to take 20 seconds. I'm like, yeah, that's a spectacle. Then everyone got super quick at it and they went, oh, double it. Yeah.
Right,
200 meters, oh, they got quick at that, double that, 400, that'll do.
We can label this bit Olympic ramble. What was the actual fact again?
Solo synchronized swimming was a sport of the Olympic Games between 84 and 1992.
Right, let's go over to our chief research correspondent, who's got so much on his page, and I notice he's just done a tick by one of them as well, so just in case he didn't know which of his three tiny lines he'd read out, Connor is going to give us his first fact.
Ancient Roman surgeons were trained back in the day to block out the screams of human pain.
Block out how?
Yeah.
So, block out the screams of human pain.
No, so, you're asking too much there. I mean, you've seen the research. It's one line. He's got no...
Hold on. Block out how? What do you mean?
I said, how do they block it out?
Well, put their hand over their f***ing mouth. If they're screaming, we don't want to hear it.
Yeah, so as in there... muffling it rather than, like, mentally I'm going to block out that sound.
When you say train, all you mean is that they covered their mouth when they were doing surgery.
No, so I have actually done a little bit of research on this, but I don't need to be writing this down because it's there.
Sure.
Yeah,
so
obviously, yeah.
What come with the fact, basically, is the fact that they didn't want people to be screaming, obviously, because it's a little bit, you know...
Well, it puts the next person off in the waiting room,
doesn't
it?
So they were trained as surgeons. Very simply, all I could see was the idea that they weren't allowed to have patients scream. So however means fit, you're in ancient Rome right now, patients cannot scream. You do with that what you will, but they just can't be screaming.
It's not really the way the podcast works.
Why?
I'm going to give you some of the facts. Just do the rest of it what you want. What I'm amazed with is back then, like, what was surgery? Like, now, you know, you've got anaesthetic, you've got all of this stuff. What were they doing there? What was surgery?
It's the same thing. It's like you're getting your knee replaced. It's probably the same sort of thing, isn't it? Just done ancient Rome, isn't it?
It's just the same, just a bit more shit.
I'm reading this big old book about ancient Roman surgery at the moment. It's only one page.
What it says
is, imagine surgery today, it's like that, but just a bit
shit. What were you expecting? It's ancient Rome. You're not going to go in there and get wrapped up, you know, ease your paracetamol,
that's the question, that's,
you know,
what I'm
pop
asking.
Back in 2 weeks'
that's
time.
That's how you're my brain difference. I'm actually curious about what it was, and your curiosity extends to, it's a bit
What's that then? You booked in for a leg transplant. Yeah, you have to get someone to drive you because you can't drive back. Yeah. Like, come on, it's ancient Rome. It's like, who wants a bit of surgery?
You understand that your qualification for something can't just be, it's ancient Rome.
Well, no, I don't really
You can't just say that as the answer to things.
What really more you need from this? They're just not like... Literally, the fact reads...
No, I know what the fact reads. It's
ancient
Rome.
Ancient Roman surgeons were trained to block out the screams of human pain.
I know that's what it says. I've heard it.
So what do you not understand about... They were trained
he
to
wants
block
more.
Out screams.
I don't necessarily want more from that. I'm not expecting you to answer this. I'm just curious about what the state of surgery was like back then. And I'd like more. I'm not expecting it from you. I'd like more to learn more about it other than... Oh, it's ancient Rome, wasn't it?
Well, look, I'm probably going to split whatever I invoice for this and just get myself a little PA, here that can answer these questions, because it's not really of interest to me, to be honest with you.
No.
No. I don't.
Here's a question.
I don't want to know what surgery was like in ancient Rome.
Here's a question. So one of the reasons we do this podcast isn't necessarily just to discover facts and figure out if they're amazing or nonsense, as the slogan suggests. I think it's also to provoke and promote a sense of curiosity in us and the listeners. We've been doing this over a year now. Do you give any more of a shit about anything than you did this time 18 months ago?
What? What do you mean by give a shit?
Like, when you see something that you don't know, do you think, oh, that's interesting? Or do you think, I don't care?
No, I'm just sort of like, oh. Yeah, like, look. I think everyone's minds work differently, right? So you look at, this is what's quite interesting about this podcast. You give Mark this fact. Yeah. He's going to be looking at what surgery was like in ancient Rome. What did they do when they done surgery? All of this. Yeah.
So basically, I'm going to do some research.
Yeah. That's what I asked.
Yeah. With me, all I literally read this. All I'm imagining is this lady there that's just got their hand over the patient's patient's mouth, being like, "Don't screw." Like that's,
mate,
that's
it was ancient Rome.
At.
Ladies weren't doing.
That's
surgery.
Where my exactly.
You don't have to only think one thing, so you can think that about the ladies, and then you can think, oh, "Okay, and what? No. And what's next?"
No, it's just it's all about the imagination. And what are you imagining right now?
What, you with a little canary in your head running around?
What are you imagining right now?
I'm trying to figure out how they blocked out the noise.
Now listen.
First question I asked. Honestly, no answer.
Listen to this. You cannot believe, like, you cannot do justice to how little research is on this sheet of paper. Like, imagine it, and then halve the amount of words you've got on your imaginary paper. It is ludicrous.
Right, do you know the best bit about it? You turn up this little bit of paper with Gmail top left, you're still the people's favourite. And you're still here a year on, so.
Right, second fact of the show. Did you know one of the only proven ways to stop hiccups is to stick a finger up your ass?
I don't believe it.
It's funny you say that, actually, because I was getting a blood... No, yeah, go on.
The guy... Why are you doing that?
Once again, who found this out?
Yeah, oh, do us a favour,
well,
babe.
This is the question.
Do us a favour, babe. But, yeah, go on.
Maybe that's out. Maybe it was just a really weird way to try and get that.
But is this just like a, if she won't do it, just get hiccups and tell her it's the only proven way.
I'm waiting for Dan to go down a really bad line.
The guy'd spent like a good year trying to use the old prostate exam excuse, and that wasn't working. So he thought, well, I'll have to do the hiccups thing. So he actually won a Nobel Prize for it. A guy called Francis Fessmeyer. Of the University of Tennessee College of Medicine. He,
give me 9 coronas, I'll happily call him.
He won a Nobel Prize.
What? Can you imagine?
Here is me thinking Nobel Prize winners are like these incredible scientists or these incredible world leaders who have done so much in their lives. And here's this bloke who's gone... I can get rid of the hiccups for you if you want.
Sheldon Cooper would be so
stick a finger up your ass.
He actually did it digitally. Digitally. We were talking about the future being the present or whatever.
What do you mean
it was.
He did it digitally?
So he managed to cure someone who had been in the emergency room of a hospital for 72 hours. He was hiccuping 30 times a minute. And they put electrical impulses up the old anus hole.
So basically,
and it stopped his hiccups.
So basically, he got rid of hiccups and got a stiffy.
No, it doesn't say anything about the stiffy.
He's got electrical pulses going up his bum.
An orgasm results in incredible stimulation of the vagus nerve, which is a nerve up the old jacksy.
G-spot's up your bum, innit?
And it says, I will be recommending... And so he recommends sex as the cure for hiccups.
No, but anal sex.
No. I think it's regular sex because when you...
Right.
When you orgasm, it stimulates a nerve in your bum hole.
Well, public sex should be legal then. Nothing wrong with a little quick little go in the toilet. What's wrong with that? Got hiccups.
Just having sex on the side of the street. And just like, sorry, she's got hiccups. She's got hiccups.
So you think the fact that everyone has known that sex makes babies, which is quite an important thing for years, and they still haven't done it, but you think the fact that it cures hiccups means, oh, you know what?
Hey, sometimes, look, babies, you can wait until later to go and, you know, have a go.
Hiccups,
they just come on at any point. You could be in the middle of Morrison's and suddenly get the hiccups and suddenly you're doing it down aisle 3.
Listen, any excuse for a blowjob down a pasta boil and I'm right up for it.
I think... That come the next Nigels, this should be up there.
What? Finger up
the
arsehole?
One of the only known cure for hiccups is to shove a finger up your bum.
I want to be honest with you.
That's incredible.
I want to be honest with you. potentially my favourite fact of Baffled so far. For so
I
many
mean,
reasons.
It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
I'll tell you why. It's ridiculous.
It is.
But in my mind right now, it is a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, I think we should.
I mean, there is wonderful pictures here.
No, yeah.
And
yeah,
also as well, it finally gives me...
What wonderful pictures are there?
It finally...
Surely there's one picture you can have, which is bloke who's got a lot of hiccups. He's been waiting in the A&E for 72 hours. The only picture that's possible there is of a doctor shoving his finger up the arse. What is wonderful about
finally,
this?
Finally, there is justification for when I ask. Finally.
Mark, give us your second fact of the show.
Colgate once made a foray into the culinary world. It didn't take long before they pulled it from the shelf, but the Colgate beef lasagna...
Oh, my word.
...is a thing.
Oh. What did it taste of?
Of beef lasagna. Colgate decided to go down
It's
not minty, but that is all people had in their brains. So therefore, everyone just kind of went... Oh,
was it just the beef lasagna? Is that all they had?
So Colgate have been very, very quiet on this because they want to. They never want to admit.
I was waiting for Mark to go.
This happened.
Yeah, we got a press release right here. We've got the MD of Colgate talking
about. So apparently, it started in the 60s when they launched a line of dried chicken and crab meat entrees under a Colgate kitchen label, and then the Colgate beef lasagna. Is on show in the Museum of Failure in Sweden.
Well, there's a Museum of Failure. So, like, I was thinking, what an odd place for them to start. But then again, surely any food that they make is an odd place for them to start. Like,
it's because the frozen food market was starting to get really big in the 80s because that was when Americans started having TVs and started... So this was only in America. So when Americans started having TVs and TV dinners and that style of life. So they were like, oh, we'll get in on a bit of that. But everyone just went, not in a Colgate beef lasagna. What has it got in it? Mint?
Mints. Many layers to that lasagna story, Connor.
I'm not into it. Oh. It's got to stop, boys. Seriously. Both of you. Starting to go down the road of him.
Yeah, but could you think of any other pun? I know it wasn't good, but it's the only one was available.
You held yourself up here with me. You know, Donnie's, Geezer's, you know, the boys.
Sure.
He had already lost it about seven months ago.
Yeah, I know, but fine.
In fairness, it was a bit of a
Yeah, I was thinking shit joker. No, that is terrible. Because that's a leap, isn't it? If I was going to go back in time, I'd like to have an endless time machine where I could sit in on the meeting where someone thought, I'm gonna pitch to my boss today, the boss of a toothpaste firm, a beef lasagna.
I think
that might be unambitious of me, really.
This happens every single week, and every single week I say the same thing. The conversation that happened where this was pitched and the decision was made is where my mind instantly goes. Why would your next step be that? Your next step, you'd be better off going into like deodorant or I don't know. Pharmaceutical use. I don't know. Lasagna? Italian food?
Nah, mate.
Connor, give us your second fact.
Oh, this one's got a bit of research to it. Here we go.
It's got a line under it, this one.
The actual fact is bold, underlined, and I've got normal bits underneath. So, an animal's yawn is based on how large their brain is. The bigger the brain, the longer the yawn.
That's why I yawn for ages.
So, the next question I'm going to ask, with no hope of you knowing the answer, why does yawning length correlate to brain size?
Okay, so it says primates tended to have the longest yawns. Humans and apes, as well as non-primates, such as elephants, tend to have more neurons and larger relative brain sizes than other animals, which is linked with higher cognitive functioning. That's why our yawns last longer.
Well, I wonder why.
Yawns feel good. Yawns feel incredible, don't they?
That's not why.
Well, that's
so the reason you yawn is because you need oxygen, because your breathing has become very, very shallow, which is why when you're sitting in meetings, people think it's because you're bored. It's not. It's just because you've been comfy for too long, so you get very bad at breathing. This is why you yawn to take in more air. Perhaps that's a reason why it's related to brain.
But it does also feel good. I enjoy yawning.
But scientists don't really know the reason we yawn, do they? They know
that's why you yawn, to gain more air.
Well, yeah, but they know that we gain more air by it, but they don't really know why we bother yawning. Like, if you Google, why do we yawn, I bet it will come up. Researchers don't really know.
Also as well,
feeling good.
Yeah, it does feel good. I think that's definitely
sometimes
a part
you can
of
have
it.
You can have a good yawn.
Every time I have a yawn, I do. It feels nice. Right. So I enjoy yawning.
Connor, omitting the obvious, finger up the bum, give us your top three feelings.
Are you seriously asking me this? No, we can't answer.
I want to see where yawn is.
We can't.
Admitting anything sexual, what are your top three feelings?
Oh, right, so that's out the window.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm
top three feelings. Thirst. that water.
Yeah, of course.
Ooh. Oh, thirst. I thought you said first. Okay.
No, thirst.
Thirsty first.
Thirst. Back scratch.
Sure.
Massage. Yeah. Massage.
So yawning doesn't even make you top
no,
three.
No, it still feels incredible.
Stupid.
No.
Mine. Dropping a poo when you really need one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When your body flutters a little bit.
Yeah, you know, when you really need
When you're starting to touch cloth and then...
Yeah, you turtle head in. I usually take all my clothes off, I'll be honest. If I'm in the toilet for anything more than 15 minutes, I end up taking my clothes
hang
off.
On, hold hang on, hang on, he's hang such on. A child, isn't he? He still uses his mother's bathwater and he gets naked when he shits.
No, if I'm in there for a long time.
If you are like already turtling, right? Why are you then taking all your clothes off and not just getting straight down to business?
No, I do. As in, I take it down. As in, I do the initial. I sit down.
And then you get hot and sweaty from that.
I do the initial expulsion and then end up taking off my t-shirt. And then something comes up. Oh, look, I don't know what, I cannot explain it, but something comes over me where I have to take off the rest of my clothes.
You really are. Jeez. Okay, the most unique character I've ever met in my life. And you should just accept it, because that is f***ing weird.
Yeah, I know it is, yeah.
I mean, the fact that every drop you make, a new bit of clothing comes off is a worry.
It sounds like a song by The Police.
So you're telling me...
There's not an order to the first drop, though,
you're thinking, t-shirt off.
No, it's not logical like
then
that.
Then a nug comes out, you're thinking, yeah, sock.
It's not. Like, I enjoy... You're trying to make some rhyme or reason there, isn't it? It's just, I get a bit hot and I think, you know what, I need to be away from clothes right now.
I think there is a rhyme or reason. I'm taking the p out of you, but I think I back it. Being hot and uncomfortable when shitting is officially the worst feeling in the world. If you're in a restaurant, for example, there's not much air circulation and you're dropping your load after a dodgy TGI's, it is bad news. When you're at home and you've got the windows open, you've got some fresh air, you're naked, it's free.
So it's dropping a poo when I really need one. That's in there. I really love jumping into cold water, that instant sensation of being woken up.
I've only done it a few times, but
and then I can't think of my third one. But there you go. I'm not going to ask you. Not because I don't care. This is
just waiting for Mark to be. Porridge in the morning.
Very fulfilling.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar.
Bill is in the house.
I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Your head knocking then, yeah.
Prefer a deep chat? Connie's got you covered on How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast.
I just became a lot more productive and happier. And for me, like, that's just worth it.
The Weekly Roast, Music in My Life, and How Are You? Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
Listen, I know we've been slightly... And podcasters won't do this. Podcasters won't point out their deficiencies. I know we've been slightly remiss with the old socials recently, but there is a plan. Admin has been put in place. We're going to get back to it now. We're in our brand new studio, so make sure you give us a follow at BaffledPod on Instagram or on TikTok as well. And always get in touch, info@baffledpod.com. If you've got a fact, if there's something you'd like Connor to explain, that's what you need to do. Get in touch there. Right, last fact of the show from me. Nice and quick, Olympic themed. In the summer of 2016, in those Olympics, the athletes used more than 450,000 condoms. 40 on average per athlete over 16 days.
Right. In my mind, before you said what the thing was at the end, I was expecting water bottles. Was that where you were going?
It is.
Condom was right at the bottom of my list.
It's a huge thing for them this year, which is why they've had to have beds made of cardboard, because...
Well, that's what they're saying, isn't it? Oh, we made beds of cardboard because you can't have sex on them.
Well, all the Olympians have sex.
It's a huge thing. Like, it's like, you know, spring break kind of stuff. They go on holiday and it's like, it is a well-known thing that they are like rabbits.
Wish off.
40 per athlete over 16 days.
Mate, when we get there for Team GB for the podcast, you can go crazy.
Now I wish I had started synchronized solo swimming.
This is a problem because it's because of COVID. So that they, you know, at the moment they don't want anyone to stay really around at the Olympics longer than they need to. So they don't want people to have sex because of the spread of the virus. So that's why they've had to... And they're not giving free condoms this year either, I don't think. Not giving free condoms. And you have to sleep on a cardboard bed.
God, I bet the Olympics is an absolute jolly up, mate. Can you imagine it? You go out there, you smash a little bit of skate... I bet the skateboarders are the shaggers.
What? No.
You want to get to the Olympics and have your event early, don't you? You want to be done in day one or two.
This is why. This is why in all the interviews, they're like, oh, you know, it's always been a dream of mine. It's like, come on, Barry. You haven't dreamed of the Olympics and the gold medal. You've dreamed of the blowjobs in the hotel room, haven't you?
But this is it. No hiccups going around there, is there? So this is the point.
The way we're just weaving it in here. It's wonderful podcasting.
Just in case you hadn't noticed what we're doing. So this is the thing, isn't it, that they've worked so hard towards something. So it is an actual release in more ways than one, but they've finally done it. They want a party, they want a booze, they want a bonk.
I get it.
I sounded like an auntie, saying bonk.
I can imagine as well that it does make sense, doesn't it? There's lots of people all over the world, you know. It's a jolly up.
And also you've got to think, I mean, without drawing it down to these, you know, because they're elite sports people, they take a lot of care over themselves. Most of them are really fit, really, really hot. So it's a situation like that. I'm down for that. 450,000 condoms used in the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio as well, over 16 days. That works out to about 40 an athlete. Mark, what's your last fact?
In 1936, two Japanese Olympians came away with very unique medals. So these were the games in Berlin. Two Japanese pole vaulters were tied for second place. So what they decided to do was cut the silver medal in half, cut the bronze medal in half, and fuse them together. So each of them have a half silver and a half bronze medal.
You've come
second. It's
quite
interesting. Yeah, that's quite fun.
It's interesting. Good fact. But that concept is stupid. They're just second.
Yeah, I guess they were mates, weren't they?
They probably didn't have. I mean, I imagine they pre-order these medals. I don't think they've got a spare silver one hanging around where they can go, well, let's just get that in.
It's a good idea, though. I guess it's fun, isn't it?
You remember we were talking about the point of Olympic Games earlier? Pole vaulting. Whoever has thought, you know what we need to do? Get someone to run really fast with a long stick and get them to leap over this thing. How is that a thing?
Sort of long jump.
But again,
triple jump.
But that's like, triple jump's more ridiculous. But long jump's fairly, you know, you could see how that would be. Yeah, that's something that you could, you know, who can jump first?
Horse riding. I mean, I saw some woman the other day with a f***ing horse who was just galloping around, and apparently she's won a
dressage.
Gold. It's like, mate, it's like...
Dressage is dancing horses. So,
realistically, you're not doing much. The horse is knackered. The horse is dancing. The horse is moving. You're on there just like... What
the we were discussing this today. Do you reckon anyone's ever won the dressage just because they're a really bad horse rider? So the horse looks like it's dancing, but actually they just have no control over what it's doing whatsoever.
I don't mean to be here just slagging off, but like there isn't really much sports. I don't really... Like, the horse is doing everything.
Yeah, but they have to control the horse. The horse doesn't just go out there and go, come on, jump on my back so it looks like I've got someone on me.
I'm sure there is. Look, I mean, we have listeners all around the world, many of them. If you're into your dressage, I used to live next door to someone that was big into a dressage. Just get in touch. Explain to Connor for once why he is so incorrect.
There we go. There's Connor explains. Next dressage, week, dressage. Yeah, tune in. I'll do dressage. What a pompous, stupid name as well. Who went, oh, what do you do? You gallop on a horse. You would call it dressage.
Yeah, I know.
It's called nuts, isn't it? Horse galloping.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cutting up the old medals, though, did they do it themselves?
That, I don't have the imagination for. I believe they did.
80s, did you say?
1936.
30s. Maybe the IOC was a bit funny about it back then, but I don't know.
Dressage. That is such a white dress, isn't it? Like, these women that wear...
He's still on that.
Such a made in Chelsea, isn't it?
Lift yourself up, look down at your last line on your big email,
there we
and
go.
Give us your final fact of the podcast.
You know what's so wonderful about us three? You know, we all bring it every week. You got Dan and Mark right on brand. Olympic facts, I haven't provided any of that. Final one in Switzerland, it's illegal to flush the toilet after 10.
Why?
I have no idea, really. Well,
great, thank you.
No, I do have an idea.
Water consumption, I would imagine.
Water consumption and noise. It's a noise. So in Switzerland, it's the same, same place as well about the guinea pig. You can't have two guinea pigs on their own. They've got some weird laws. Also, the Daffy Duck that we've done before, that was Switzerland. Do you remember?
Yeah, here's the thing, though.
Noise in a flat.
What if you're getting in at 10:01?
What, and dropping a great big one?
Right. You get into the bathroom, close off.
Yeah, teach it off.
You know it's going to be a big one. You have pre-stripped, ready for a sweaty poo. You're going to have to leave it lingering there.
Realistically, Dan's...
All night, you've got to leave that
realistically,
lingering.
This whole episode is damn really, isn't it? You know, you come in, get naked, have a don't flush the toilet and get a finger up your ass by 11. I mean, this is pretty much painted the picture.
How loud are these toilets?
Well, that makes sense to me. In a block of flats, everyone flushing the toilet after 10, it's a loud old situation.
I just can't help but notice that on your sheet with your facts, you've only ticked one. How will you know what to do next?
Well, I'm done after this one.
Yeah, on the floor.
There you go.
He'll pick that up.
Down of beers, eh?
How loud? I can't fathom how loud these things are. And also, who made that rule? Who sat there and thought, you know what we need to do? You know what I'm sick of people doing? I'm sick of being woken up by mountains of water gushing away as people flush the loo.
Well, we've got a few more coming over the next couple of episodes, but I've found in my research that Switzerland has got some pretty crazy laws. So you're going to hear a few more coming soon. Okay. But Switzerland's pretty mental. Like, Switzerland had the Daffy Duck law that we've covered before. Which is it Daffy Duck? Where... Daffy Duck was banned because he was wearing pants or wasn't wearing
Donald
pants.
Duck.
Donald Duck, that was it. Switzerland also are the guinea pig. You can't have a guinea pig on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And the flushing of the toilets. Pretty mental, really.
There you go. So even if you weren't, you know, if you were on the fence about coming back, make sure you give us a follow because we've got more Switzerland facts coming your way. Thank you very much. What a riveting toilet-based episode of an arse-based episode of Baffled. What have we learned? If you've got hiccups, surefire thing, just shove one up there. Maybe tonight you're going to get tucking into a nice, tasty Colgate lasagna? And, you know, if you're really having a bad day, make yourself feel better. One of the top three feelings in the world. Having a turd with no clothes on, completely in the nuddy. Thank you very much. Make sure you give us a follow on socials at Baffled Pod. Get in touch, info@baffledpod.com. Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Connor.
I mean, summing up with what we've learned today really does paint a wonderful evening, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Finger up the arse, from the Colgate lasagna, and then a naked poo.
Yeah, I mean, my top's already off.
Yeah.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.